Hey, you're listening to Girl, You're Made for More, and this is Chanda. This is our continuation episode, if you want to call it that, from our previous one, where we really get onto the topic of burning bright for Jesus, our passion for Him. What does it mean to live in this society, and how can you be a Christian? What are our thoughts and our actions on these things? Based on the Word of God, what it says that we should do and how we should walk with Him. But then where society says that things are acceptable, that we don't deem acceptable. So enjoy this episode. We get a little fiery. We talk about our emotions. There's just a couple of different things that we kind of touch on here. We hope that you enjoy this and you'll understand our heart and our passion for Jesus.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is that we've been created in His image. We talked a little bit about that last week, but we have been created in His image, which then means this: He knows our emotions. He knows our triggers of stress and those things. And that's why He says, just chill. Because God understands, I believe that, you know, He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be joyous. Mm-hmm. And so joy and peace and comfort and all those things are those wonderful things that He gives us, you know? And then there's those crazy things that I believe came from the fall. You know, I don't think that we would have to fight those feelings or emotions. And unfortunately, females, we're such emotional creatures.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I get annoyed myself at times.
Why do you love us like this? Really? Why? You know, by the way, we are, I mean, I don't know if you guys are going through this, but and this is a total sidetrack note, but you know, I'm seeing a lot of people kind of taking away gender. And I'm proud to be a woman. Like, I'm proud to be a woman of God.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a tough one, isn't it? It's a tough thing, because my children, especially Poppy, they ask about a lot about all the different genders and all the different things, and my response is, you know, yeah, hate the sin but love the sinner.
Yeah.
So, but people could be offended by that, but we all sin. So it's not a harsh thing to say, and in that sense, because I sin every single day. It just might be that, you know, some sins are more out there, as in people notice them more than others. I could hide a lot of my sin, but if it's out there and people see it, I love people. You know, it's the same for you. We love all people, but there are a lot of things changing in the world that go against a lot of the Bible, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But ultimately, bring it back to the person and love the person.
Yes.
You know,
even for me, you know, it's not even about those people that are identifying a certain way. For me, it's more, there are political things that we're seeing over here that are telling us that I can't call you my sister-in-law.
What?
Yeah. Wow. They don't know. You're they or them.
What?
Uh-huh. They're wanting to remove gender-specific titles.
Oh, my goodness. Didn't know it got that bad.
Well, I wouldn't be a mother. John wouldn't be a father. They want to remove that.
That is the most ridiculous, insane thing I've ever heard in my life. Who's saying this? That, so what would the child would call you? He and she?
Yeah.
I
read an article from an actress whose daughter is 12 and has come out, and she wanted to share it on her podcast, and hey, that's their prerogative, whatever, you know. I have very strong feelings about that, in that, number one, the Word of God says what it says about it, but then the other side of it is that she's 12.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what she wants.
Oh.
And anyhow, and the mother is utilizing those types of terms for her.
That's crazy.
Calling her, or is she? But listen, here's a funny thing. So, you know, they've got transgender that want to compete with females because they are identifying as a female now.
Okay.
Sports, right? Okay. So let's just say track and field. And I was like, well, that's not fair. You've got these female athletes that have worked their butt off, trained their bodies, eat right, all of those things. And they're in the Olympics and so on and so forth. And, you know, and they're going to lose to a transgender?
Wait, that's not right.
So there was this whole thing like, oh no, they should be able to, they identify as women. They should be allowed to compete with women, right? Girl, I mean, I'm saying, wait a minute, they still have testosterone and they are stronger, all of those things. So they did a study. They did a study. They spent a lot of money on it. They've come to the determination that it would be unfair to let transgender.
Anybody could have told.
You didn't need to spend money and do a trial study on it, fool. Like, what's
happening? Oh my gosh.
Scratch my head and say, what in the world? And that's why you have to listen to the word of God. You have to listen to his voice and not the voice of the crazy person spending millions of dollars to tell something quote unquote scientific that I could have told you in 2 seconds, you know. And John goes, I've got a better idea. We can allow them to compete with women, but they got to wear high heels because that's what'll make it fair. But then some might walk better in high heels than some women. So
I heard this, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard it, that God made Adam and Eve, no Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. And it's, you know, I know that we are at risk of upsetting people, but I will not deny what Jesus is and who he is to me and what he stands for. Remember, this is not attacking anyone. This is showing you that Jesus loves everybody. Therefore, we love everybody. But do we have to agree with everything? No, we don't. So everyone will have their own opinion on things, but we will always say that, yeah, you're welcome. Like, you are welcome because we love you.
Yes.
And in that, then you let Jesus do the rest, you know?
That's right. And that's the biggest thing, you know, like you said, we will love the person, but we're not going to love the sin. And the Bible calls it sin. The Bible says it's sin. And everything, I'm just going to take it back to the word of God, and everything that God created, if you look closely, the enemy has worked so hard to manipulate it, destroy it, pervert it, period, end of story. So that is his goal, is to take the things, because he's not creative. The enemy is not creative.
Oh my gosh, he's so thick.
And so when you look at it, he's just taking the beautiful thing that God created, man and woman, and family. And what does he want to do? He wants to pervert it and destroy it.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the Bible talks about that in, I believe it's Isaiah 5, you know, he talks about it. He talks about how in the end days that what was good will be called evil and what is evil will be called good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's certainly at a place where it's all messed up.
And but
we have God through it all, you know, and I think in that we have to remember, don't be afraid of the things that are going on.
Yeah.
Stand up for what you believe in. You know, this is a beautiful thing that Poppy, she told me this morning that she was playing Roblox online with her best friend, and then some other friends joined, and there was a boy who was taking God's name in vain. So here's my wee 15-year-old with all her disabilities and learning disabilities, said to the boy, could you please stop saying that? Because it makes me sad. And he said, oh, sorry. And he stopped saying it. And I was like, good for you. Well done you. I says, do you know what Jesus did when you did that? He was up there going, yes, that's my girl. Like, well done, Poppy. And she said today in the car as we were going to church, I says, what is one thing you would like to do this year to achieve? And she went, I want to get closer to God. Oh my gosh, that was it. I was just away with the fairies then. I thought, this is incredible. But it's like, don't be afraid to stand up for what is right and true. If my wee girl can do it, anybody can do it. Like, right. Don't be afraid.
Do it in such a way that it is, first of all,
respectful.
Respectful. I'm not for passive Christianity. I'm just going to tell you that right now, folks. If you're looking for two people that are going to be passive about our faith and our trust in God, it's not going to be watered down here at all. We're out here too, if you want to call it, fight the good fight. You know, if you do not stand for anything, you will fall for everything. And what I know that I stand for and Sarah stands for is that the truth is found in the Word of God. That what he says is true, what he said he's going to do, he will fulfill. And, you know, we are fighters for justice. We're fighters for truth. And it doesn't matter. So this is not what we're saying is not targeted at homosexuality, lesbianism, any of thing of that nature. That was just an example. Sin. There is no degree of sin in God's eyes. So what does that mean? That means that there is sin, period. God does not look at the sin of someone having premarital sex, whether it be a man and a woman, or a man and a man and a woman and a woman, or X, Y, and Z. It doesn't matter to him. It's outside the confines of marriage. Therefore, it is wrong. It's just sin is sin. He doesn't look at one greater than the other. He, you know.
A lie is the same as a murder.
That's right. That's right.
So it's not, that's not to make people fearful, because God is not to be feared. He is loving. He's so gracious. There is so much freedom in God when you just get to know him, when you build that relationship, and your way will be guided by that. Like, they always say, I remember something that I used to be afraid of was when you become a proper Christian, you might lose friends. And that terrified me until here I am at 46. I understand, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm really thankful that I lost some friends, because I was going down a path I didn't want to go down. And now I'm out of it and I'm here. And I'm like, phew. Like, thank you, God. Let me keep losing friends of that kind, because I want the right people in my life who will help me, who will help guide me, who will just be a blessing in the sense that we're going along a journey together. So we want to make sure, don't be afraid of saying to God, I've done this. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. And if you're questioning things in your life, you know, I can't put it across enough. God loves you so much. But the enemy does come to steal, kill, and destroy, to confuse, to upset, to do everything horrendous, to tear you apart from your family, and to do all those things. And yet God is just a God of love. And the minute that we say, yeah, Jesus, do you know what? I accept you in my life. You are my Lord and Savior. Change me.
Yeah.
My gosh, you will change. He will never let you down. He will just change it all about for you. Don't fear.
Yeah. And you know, I think the biggest thing for me is, are you worried? You know, you talked about, you were worried about losing friends, and I've been there. I get it. It's especially when you're younger and you want to be accepted, you want to be a part, but how much sweeter it is to be accepted by him, the Lord God Almighty, and have his favor. And so you have to ask yourself this question. Does it matter to me more about what the people think about me, pleasing man, or pleasing the creator of the universe, who I will spend eternity with? That is the ultimate question. Are you living to please God, or are you living to please man?
Yeah.
And you got to make a decision. The Bible tells us everybody's going to make it. And guess what? If you choose man, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
But every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord.
Yeah. And being one thing I do hear people say is, but I'm a good person.
Oh.
You're a good person. Like, that's great. I'm really glad that you're a good person. But do you know Jesus? Well, no. And my question to people that I've had approach me about it is, well, do you believe in Jesus? I says, well, where are you going when you die? Or you just die? And I'm like, well, that's pretty grim, isn't it? You just die. Or people say, oh, I'll get come back as so-and-so, or yeah, well, some people might believe in heaven and hell, and they say, well, I'd like to get to heaven, but how are you going to get to heaven? Oh, because I've done good things, and I, you know, I treat people nice. And I'm like, but if you don't know Jesus, that door's shut. Sorry, do you want to know Jesus? Oh, I do kind of know him. Well,
I know there's not a kind of sort of hope so, maybe so, know him. You either know him or you don't. You have either accepted him and confessed your sins, or you haven't. That's it. Yeah. And then once you do that, once you choose Jesus, first of all, it's free. Man, it costs you nothing. You don't have to get a subscription and pay $9.99 a month.
It's awesome.
There, he sacrificed his life for every single person on this planet. And that's, God gave us that free will to choose. But once you choose him, then you have an even bigger responsibility to tell other people about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to lead them to him, because I believe in my heart, and I feel the Holy Spirit's burning that has been within me for the past 9 months. Mm. We're headed for revival, people. We are headed for a world revival. And I believe that his fire is going to fall. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. Like a blaze for others to see. And so you can't be you can be lukewarm if you choose to. You can have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Mm. But it says that he will spew you out of his mouth.
Yeah. I think it's a really tough thing, especially for younger people. I remember growing up, and I did have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And I used to pray saying, God, please don't come back now. Please don't come back yet. I'm not ready. Because I'm, you know, you think of that verse, be ready, because the evil come like a thief in the night. Right. And I'm like, I'm not ready, because I was knowingly doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, but also wanted to seek God. But I was, again, just very immature. But I tell you this, the grace of God was over my life at that time as well. I am fully aware, looking back, how he guided me and how, you know, it would have been sad at me because I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And, you know, I can sense that sadness at that time of him thinking, oh, but did he leave me? No. Did he forsake me? No. Did he ever let me go and turn his back on me? No. He walked with me through those times to get me to the place where I'm at now, fully in love with him. My gosh, the things he has walked me through. Mm-hmm. And I love him for that. So yeah, when you're younger, you have greater temptations, I believe, when you're younger, because you're figuring it all out, you know. But fully believe if you can, and take with you every day, just keep praying. Just keep praying, Jesus. And if you do something wrong, just acknowledge it. Say, Jesus, I don't think I should be doing this. Can you help me not do it again, or take me somewhere else and help me avoid that? And he will. We have to just keep, don't ignore Jesus when you're in the midst of something, because that doesn't get you anywhere. You have to come back and say, Jesus, I've drank too much today and I don't feel safe now, and I need to get home and I don't know how to do it. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will get you there, because you are calling on God Almighty, who will not leave you alone to die in a puddle on the ground, or he will not put you in harm's way. He's just waiting for you to ask. But in those times, look back and learn from your mistake, learn from what you did, and say, I want to make a change there, Jesus. Don't keep repeating and then saying, oh, it's all right, Jesus will help me. Nah, don't ever take him for granted. You keep moving forward and keep learning, and just include him. Is my biggest word of advice, is include him, even in your sin, include him and say, help me here, help me out, and he will come.
That's good. End of
Yeah. Well, we better stop, didn't we?
You got to admit it and quit it. That's what my dad always used to say.
Well, hey, absolutely. And don't fear in that. God is not to be feared. Admit it, quit it, move on.
Move on with
Bring him in to your sin is the most powerful message that I can say. Bring him in. Do not hide behind the veil. Open the veil. Don't get stuck in shame, because that's what the enemy wants. If you've done something wrong, he's trying to get you to close that veil and hide. And yeah. Jesus is there saying, I want this veil open. What are you doing? Yeah. Tell me what you're doing. All right, let's fix this. That's the story of Jesus. Oh, I'm getting all excited. That's ridiculous.
That's the thing. And so the biggest thing that we want to send you guys away with is this. You can hear his voice. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will be there and he will speak to you. But I do believe this. I believe that if you live a wishy-washy life, like you were just talking about, it will put plugs in your ears. You won't be able to hear his voice. Yeah,
definitely, because you're doing it yourself.
That's right. That's right. You don't want to hear him because you know he's going to tell you what you're doing is wrong. Yeah. So you like put the, you know, noise canceling headphones on and you said,
listen. Yes.
Like a child, but I'm not listening to you. So that's the thing. You're not going to hear his voice. You're not going to recognize his voice if you're playing two sides. So, you know, you got to draw that line in the sand. Many years ago, I sang a song that says that, you know, there's a line I will not cross.
Yeah.
And so you have to make that decision. You draw the line in the sand and you say no more. I will not cross over that into the world. The grass is not greener on the other side. And I'm going to choose Jesus over everything in my life. You know, Jesus, it is the sweetest name you will ever know. And it is the one that will stick closer than a brother, and he will constantly be there for you. But I believe that if you use and abuse that relationship, like you were talking about, you can't do that. You can't take him for granted. No. So chase after God, tune into him and his voice. And boy, life's going to be sweet. It's not going to be perfect, easy, but it'll be sweeter.
Yeah, it's definitely, you will have your help in your time of need. You will know where to go. Like, trials are always going to be there, but we have somebody who is, oh, he's just amazing and on our side and is rooting for us every step of the way. He talks to God so much about, like, whoever, like, he'll talk about me and say, and he'll go to God and he'll say, see Sarah, oh man, I love her. That's the conversations that go on in heaven. And God's like, yeah, I love her too. Like, and it's amazing when you get your head around it. It's amazing. But anyway, we have been on too long, haven't we? We had better cut this short.
Shut it down. But listen, hey, the Holy Spirit's interceding on your behalf. Don't forget that. Mm-hmm. He's also praying and asking God. He's interceding for you.
Love it.
So anyhow, we love you guys. We are blessed by every person around the world. Israel has joined the crew. Woo-hoo. Exciting welcome, and you know, be blessed, have a wonderful day, and remember, you are for more.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us here at Girl You're Made for More. We hope that this episode encouraged you, uplifted you, and also empowered you in the mighty name of Jesus. Next week, we're going to be talking about Ephesians 6, the full armor of God, and what Paul the Apostle says about putting it on. How do you activate it? And what does it really mean to stand firm? Thank you so much to Scotia Sounds for providing all of our music today. We appreciate you. And we love you, girl, you're made for more.